Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation, I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy and it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee for fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of his son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the Son of Man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there. And he is by saying, Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has blessed us to come before you another day that we might bring his great, holy, and adulterated words of truth, the word of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All I'm going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. But who is this Yah that we speak of? Well, this Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our judge. He's our lawgiver. He's our king and our only savior, and not just of Israel, but he's the savior, the only savior of the world. We're here another night speaking to you about the seven signs of redemption. And Yah had determined that he would save his people. As a matter of fact, he is determined that he will save his people from their self. And Yah gave us seven signs and seven ways that he will redeem his people. Well, the first way and the first sign that Yah gave to redeem his people is called righteousness. And for Yah said in the book of Isaiah 42, and I want to read that to you so you can see exactly how Yah will save. And it's important to know because there are many people that believe they can be saved by the death of a man. And this is not the truth. Some people believe, and in ancient time, our people believed that they can be saved for their sins if only if they killed their firstborn in the fire. And of course, that was not true also. And of course, others think you can be saved by various religious teachings and doctrines. But we're bringing you the seven different ways that Yahweh himself said he will save. It says in the book of Isaiah 42, in verse 22 or verse 21, it says, Yah is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable, because this is how pleased Yah is for his righteousness' sake. And he wanted to be known concerning his righteousness, which is the first and number one way that Yah said he will use to save his people. This is why he saved Noah and his family. He said because he seemed righteous in him. This is why he said, look unto the rock from whence you are hewn. Look unto Abraham and Sarah. Why? Because he said, all those that follow after righteousness, that's who you want to look to. But look what he said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, so you can understand this. In the book of Deuteronomy 9, it lets us know in the 4th verse, speak not thou in our heart after that Yah the Elohim have cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness Yah have brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, Yah do drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thy heart, do thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, Yah the Elohim do drive them out before thee, and that he may perform the word which Yah sworn to thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that Yah the Elohim giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. And so the first thing Yah look for in saving, in redeeming anyone, especially his people, he looked for righteousness. That's why he said if Daniel or Noah, Daniel and Job is in the earth, and you'll read this in the book of Ezekiel 14, chapter, starting around the 14th verse. If these three men are in the earth, they will only save themselves by their own righteousness. If Yah send a sword or pestilence, famine, or a noisome beast, his four sore judgments on the earth. If he see righteousness in you, then you can be saved. And all righteousness come from the Most High. So these men and any man, they don't have righteousness that just up out of thin air. No, this righteousness is what the Almighty planted in the earth and planted in the minds of men that they might take hold to it. And these men did. And that is the first way Yah look. The first thing that Yah look at when he goes to save. And that's what we're talking about. The seven ways of redemption. How can one be redeemed from their sins? It's not by the blood of animals, nor is it by the blood of mankind. The only way that you can be saved, first and foremost, is by righteousness. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is the word of Yah. Righteousness is his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. Righteousness is obedient to his voice. This is what righteousness is. That's why the Creator said, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people. And they will say, surely this is a wise and understanding people who have laws as righteous as all this law is, because that's where our righteousness comes from. The number two way, the second way that Yah has determined to save our people from ourselves is by his holy namesake. And let me show you this. In the book of Ezekiel 36, and we brought these things out already. But I just want to just refresh so you can understand what this is all about. The seven ways of redemption. How Yahweh has determined to save and to redeem his people as well as the inhabitants of the earth. In the book of Ezekiel, and I may have, most people don't, they don't know how they're going to be saved. And they don't know what they're being saved from. And I want you to, let me make sure, I want to read this Ezekiel 36 one other place. Yeah, let us go right to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. I just want you to see this first. Ezekiel 20, and I'll start at the 8th verse. And this is what it says. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and that they might know that I am Yah that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. In other words, every time the Almighty thought to destroy and consume our people, which was greatly deserved, which was greatly justified, but he would not do it. And why? Because of his holy name's sake. And watch in the book of Ezekiel 36. This is what it says. Starting at the 19th verse. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of Yah and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus says Yahweh, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yah, says Yah Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of the countries, and will bring you into your own land. So we see here, this is how Yahweh proposed to save our people. He didn't propose to save our people by taking them up to heaven. That's not how Yahweh saved people. Taking them up to heaven. Yahweh don't save people by putting a man on the cross and killing him for the world. That's not how Yahweh determined to save, and that's the only way to save. So all of us got to believe that Yahweh put a man on the cross, killed him, and now we can be saved. No, that's not the word of Yah. That's the counterfeit that others want you to believe. What we're showing you, what we're teaching you, is the truth and how Yahweh will redeem and how he will save. And no, Yah is not going to take you down in the ground in some paradise like it teaching Islam. Where you will have, in some places it says, as many as 40 virgins. And I asked the people, well, if the men get all these virgins, big eye virgins, as they say in the Quran, and they have rivers of wine rivers flowing with wine. I thought Muslims don't even supposed to drink wine. Most Muslims, we don't drink. What are you going to drink in paradise? Because it's going to be rivers of wine with big-eyed virgins. And then I asked them, well, that's good what the men going to have. What are the women going to have? One of the imams asked me, what you mean? What you mean what I mean? What will the women get? I see what the men get. So what do the women get? And, of course, he can't tell me because it don't say in the Quran what a woman get. It tell you what the man get in paradise. And then why is paradise underground? The only thing I've seen underground is lava. That's the only thing I've seen underground. Maybe you've seen the paradise underground, but all I've seen is lava. And lava ain't nothing to play with. This is how Yahweh said he will redeem and save. Now we're on the third thing, but we're going to incorporate the third sign of redemption as well as the fourth sign of redemption. Number three and number four, because they very closely related with one another. But they very essential. Because, again, this is how Yahweh has proposed to save, to redeem. The third thing, you'll find the third thing written in the book of Isaiah 55. And watch what this says. And if you take real good notes, you're going to understand everything we've been bringing to you. First of all, it's scripture. Second of all, you're not going to learn this nowhere else. They're not about to tell you seven different ways that Yahweh will redeem. They're just going to tell you one way. Either it's going to be a counterfeit or they're going to tell you by the law. That's it. Is that the only way Yahweh said he will redeem by the law? Then why is he saving people for his holy name's sake if it's just by the law? Let me show you the third way that Yahweh has proposed to redeem. In the book of Isaiah 55 and 1. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Where do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And here the prophet is trying to let you know what you really should be eating and what is good for the soul and how you can delight yourself in fatness. And watch what he said it is. Third verse. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Now, how would my soul live? Because isn't that what you want your soul to live? And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Well, I thought the sure mercies of David was just to his sons. I thought the promise was just to his descendants. But we see here that same covenant that Yahweh gave to the sons of David, to the descendants of David, to the family of David. He also is extending that covenant to all of Israel. You notice right here, it's not even mentioning his sons at all. or his descendants. He said, just incline your ear and come to me and live, and your soul shall live. And what do he want you to hear? What do he want you to take hold to? What do he want you to eat? He wants you to eat what he has to say about David and how through David, Yahweh will establish his kingdom. And if you want to be a part of this kingdom, then surely you want the sure mercies of David, which is the promise of David. And what is mercies? Well, mercies are an everlasting kindness that Yahweh will bestow upon you for the reasons in which we're about to show you. And who don't want that? And since David is supposed to be the king, and since David is supposed to have a kingdom, and since David is supposed to have a throne that will last forever, even as long as the moon and the sun, who in their right mind don't want to be a part of that kingdom? I wouldn't even talk about another kingdom, even if I knew, because there are no other kingdoms that Yahweh has made this type of promise to. Watch what it says. Behold, fourth verse, I've given him for a witness to the people. He's a witness. Now, during the time of Isaiah, David was dead. But the prophet said he's given him for a witness to the people. He's given him for a leader to the people. And he has given him a commander to the people. This is the one that Yahweh will establish his kingdom with. And this kingdom will rule over all. And the only way you can be a part of this kingdom is if Yahweh extends the sure mercies of David unto you. And this is the third way that Yahweh will choose to redeem and save, just by the sure mercies of David. I know most people don't believe me, but watch what King Solomon said, his son, in the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. I just want you to see this. Let's see if this promise is just to his sons. In the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, first let me read. So in that 1 Kings 8 and 22, we're going to read this first and watch what it says. And Solomon stood before the altar of Yah in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yah Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim like thee in heaven above or earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thy hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Yah Elohim of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O Elohim of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I've built? And see, David's mercies is wrapped in the cloth of Yahweh's mercies. Watch what else it says about this David, as well as his mercies. And I'm going to read the the 54th verse, and this is what it says. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto Yah, he arose from before the altar of Yah, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be Yah that have given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. And the only reason they had rest is because Yahweh has promised this to David. Yahweh wanted a house built to his name. Or really, David desired Yahweh to have a house built for his name. And Yahweh promised them this rest so that David's son can build this house. It was David that desired Yahweh to have a house. Why you think this is the only man that Yahweh has said that even the sure mercies of David? Because David always showed kindness and love above most when it came to the Most High. See, it's one thing to be obedient, but it's another thing to go out your way to show your kindness and your love. And this is the type of man David was. But watch what it says further. There have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moshe, his servant. Yah Elohim be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before Yah, be nigh unto Yah our Elohim day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servants and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that Yahweh is Elohim and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with Yah your Elohim, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments, as it is this day. This is what Solomon prayed. But furthermore, in the book of 2 Chronicles, the first chapter. And what are we talking about? The third way that Yah has proposed to redeem not just his people, but the inhabitants of the earth. And watch what it says. 2 Chronicles 1, and we're going to start at verse 7. It says, "In that night did Elohim appear unto Solomon, and he said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto Elohim, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. And now, O Yah, Elohim, let thy promise unto David, my father, be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge us, thy people, that is so great? And Elohim said unto Solomon, Because this was in thy heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thy enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches, wealth, honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." And all this is predicated on a promise of David. That's why Yahweh said, "Incline your ear and hear, and let your souls live. Let me show you how precious Yahweh sees your souls. And let me show you how precious Yahweh sees the mercies of David." In the book of Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, watch what it says. Jeremiah 33. And I'm going to start at the 15th verse. It says, "In those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." And watch this. This is very important. "In those days shall Yehuda be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, Yah our righteousness." In other words, during the time of David is the same time that Yahweh has proposed to save his people. "For thus is Yah, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel." And why? Because David's going to sit on his own throne. "Neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meal offerings and to do sacrifice continually." And the word of Yah came unto Jeremiah and said, "Thus says Yah, if ye can break my covenant of the day," which people unfortunately are breaking, "and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season." And as you know, many people today, they call in the night day. In other words, as soon as it get night, They say, well, it's another day. Soon as the moon come out, people are saying, well, it's another month. That's just not the season of the day at all. Watch what it says. Then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites to preach my ministers. And watch this. 23rd verse. Moreover, the word of Yah came unto Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, two families which Yah have chosen, he have even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus is Yah. If my covenant be not with the day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of the heaven and the earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. And why? Because of the sure mercies of David. Because if there's no promise to David, then how could there be a promise of a kingdom? This is the sure mercies of David. The kingdom is predicated on this promise. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter, let's go back to 2 Chronicles. The 40th verse, and this is what it says. Now let's start at the 37th verse, because this applies to us today. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, we have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul in the land of their captivity, because a lot of people don't want you to do that. It's perfectly fine that you are sinners, because they teach and they'll tell you that you can't keep the law in this land anyway. But watch what the Creator says. And pray toward that land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I built for thy name. Then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, prayer, their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my Elohim, let I beseech thee, thy eyes be open, and let thy ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Yah Elohim, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Yah Elohim, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Yah Elohim, turn not away the face of thy anointed, and remember the mercies of David thy servant. Why? Because all this kingdom that Yahweh is speaking about is predicated on his servant David. And why? Because of the sure mercies of David. Let me show you one more thing. in the book of Psalms 89. Because this is the third way that Yahweh desired to save. Why do you think Yahweh said, "Come unto him, and your soul shall live, and he would even make a covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David"? Who don't want to be a part of that covenant? That you can be a part of the same kingdom that will last forever. Let me show you what forever is. In the book of Psalms 89, watch the first four verses of Psalms 89. Number one, "I will sing of the mercies of Yah forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I said, mercy shall be built ever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. And I made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations." Selah. That is the promise of David. Look what it says further, starting at the 19th verse. "Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people." Just one. "I have found David, my servant," not the son of David, not the seed of David, not the offspring of David, not the branch of David, not the root of David. "I found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. And I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my Elohim, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also, in addition to what's going to happen to him, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven." Well, how long is heaven? "If his children forsake my law, walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. This is the sure mercies of David. And who don't want to be a part of that covenant? Well, if you don't, your choice. Because this covenant gets you in the door of the kingdom of Yah. Who you think going to be ruling it? And the only people that's going to be a part of this kingdom are those who take hold of that covenant. And what is the covenant? The covenant of David. And what is that covenant? The sure mercies of David. This is the third way that Yahweh has chosen and desired to save, to redeem. I just want to read that one more time so it can be embedded in your minds. Isaiah 55, just one more time. Because maybe you didn't get it. Number one, the first way Yahweh will redeem is by righteousness. He's looking for the righteous. Number two, Yahweh said he was saved for his holy name's sake, because he know many will miss the mark. But number three, because of the great sure mercies of one man, not two, not three, not four, not five. As a matter of fact, Yahweh said if Noah, Daniel, and Job is in the earth, they can only save themselves by their righteousness. Neither son nor daughter. Not so with David. Yahweh said this about David. Third verse. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And what is this everlasting covenant, Yah? Even the sure mercies of David. This is how my soul will live. And all I got to do is incline my ear and come here, and my soul will live. And all I got to do is eat this bread, which is good, and let my soul delight in fatness. So this is how you can get life. The fourth way that Yahweh has determined and desired to save is one of the most familiar ways, although many people don't even understand it, and that is through his mercy's sake. One is his righteousness sake. Two is his name's sake. Three is because of David's sake. And all you got to do is look up the word sake, S-A-K-E, and you'll see all three of those. Righteousness sake, name's sake, David's sake. And the fourth thing that Yahweh has desired to do to save and to redeem is for his mercy's sake. And why is mercy's sake? Well, Yahweh's mercy is his everlasting kindness. This mercy that Yahweh will extend is not only is forever, but it represents Yahweh's praise. That's why everything that happened to you, all you can say is praise Yah, for his mercy endure forever. It's something good. Praise Yah. His mercy endure forever. And if something bad happened, praise Yah, for still his mercy endure forever. Because his mercy represents his praise. Watch what it says in the book of Psalm 136. There's nothing that exists without Yahweh's righteousness. Without his name, there is no sure mercies of David. Without the kingdom. But make no mistake about it. All these things is Yahweh's mercy. Everything represents his mercy. Watch what this says in Psalm 136. Number one, or verse one. Oh, give thanks unto Yah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Elohim of Elohims, or deities, or idols, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto Yah of lords, or masters, or rulers, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great works, wonders, for his mercy endure forever. And I may add, who else can do great wonders? There is no one else that can do great wonders. He does this alone. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endure forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endure forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endure forever. The sun to rule by day in which we teach, for his mercy endure forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endure forever. To him that smote Egypt and his firstborn. And a lot of people criticize Yahweh for smiting the firstborn of Egypt. They say, why babies got to die? Why the firstborn got to die? Let me tell you why. For his mercy endured forever and brought out Israel from among them. For his mercy endured forever with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. For his mercy endured forever. To him was divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endured forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endured forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endured forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endured forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endured forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endured forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endured forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endured forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endured forever. Even a heritage unto Yisrael, his servant, for his mercy endure forever. Who remember us in our low estate, for his mercy endure forever. And I may add, we low right now. And have redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endure forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Elohim of heaven, for his mercy endure forever. There's nothing that don't deserve thanks to Yah. And what are you thanking him for? What are you praising him for? What are you calling him for? What are you serving him for? For his mercy endure forever. Because if it didn't, you can forget everything that you ever done and that you ever known. Because it's only through his mercy. Watch what Yahweh say about this great mercy in Psalms 103. Verse 1. Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Yah executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moshe, his acts unto the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. And like as a father pities his children, so Yahweh pitied them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remember that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passed over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of Yah is for everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Which let you know that even Yahweh's mercies, and it's from everlasting to everlasting, it is still expected. And his mercies are great, that you fear him, and that you be righteous, and that you keep his commandments. Don't think Yahweh is so merciful that he will pardon the wicked. Yahweh let us know that the only way the wicked get pardoned is they turn from their wicked and evil ways. So that you can understand, I'm telling you the truth. Go to the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 20th chapter. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 4th verse, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yada Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And watch what he do. And showing mercy unto thousands of them. In other words, thousands of generations that love me and keep my commandments. This is Yahweh's mercy. This is how he will extend his mercy. In the book of Psalms 118, turn there. What could we do? How can we be without Yah's mercy? If it was up to us, if it was up to mankind, David would be dead. As soon as David sinned, his head would be chopped off. But not Yahweh. Because Yahweh mercy endure forever. And Yahweh don't see like a man. Man look on the outer. And Yahweh look on the heart. And the same man that you would kill and cut his head off, and make no mistake about it, you will. You would. David would be a dead man. That same man Yahweh used and made a covenant with to save you. All you have to do is take hold of that covenant, even the sure mercies of David, and your soul shall live. In the book of Psalms 118, first verse, oh, give thanks unto Yah, for he is good, because his mercy endure forever. Israel, now say that his mercy endure forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endure forever. And let them now that fear Yahweh say that his mercy endure forever. I called upon Yah in distress. Yah answered me and set me in a large place. Yah is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Yah taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in Yah than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in Yah than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of Yah will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of Yah, I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of Yah, I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But Yah, help me. Yahweh is my strength and song, and has become my salvation, the voice of rejoicing. And salvation is the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of Yah doeth valiantly. The right hand of Yah is exalted. The right hand of Yah doeth valiantly. It shall not die, but live, and declare the works of Yah. Yahweh hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them. And I will praise Yahweh, the gate of Yahweh, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and I'll become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Yah. O Yah, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of Yah. We have blessed you out of the house of Yah. Elohim is Yah, which have showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my Elohim, and I will praise thee. Thou art my Elohim, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto Yah, for he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. Fourth way that Yahweh has chose, has desired to save. This is how Yahweh would get his praise, through his great mercies. If it wasn't for Yahweh's mercy's sake, how could you be? For he has not rewarded us according to our sin. And as far as the heaven is from the earth, so far as he removed our transgression from us. As far as the east is from the west, this is how far he has blotted out the memory of our sins. Yahweh is merciful, gracious, plenteous in mercy. Don't you see how beautiful, how awesome, how righteous, how good Yahweh is? Why won't you take hold to him that your soul will live? Yahweh loves so much. His mercy is so great. Watch what he will do. Watch what he will design. Watch what he will make for you and I. In the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter. In the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter, this is what it says. And Yahweh spake in the first verse. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before Yahweh and died. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. And what is this mercy seat? And what is a mercy seat? Do you realize Yahweh has a seat that he will come down on that is called the mercy seat just to extend mercy to his people? That's why it's called the mercy seat. And what is it designed to do? And the reason why he told Aaron, don't come at all times before this mercy seat. The only time Aaron was able to go in before this mercy seat is on the Day of Atonement. When Yahweh has desired to separate you from all your sins. And he said he would do this once a year. And watch what it says. In this same Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And what kind of God would do such a thing like this? Well, Yahweh. And is there any other Elohim that exists that will show this kindness? And the answer is no. Watch what it says. The 29th verse. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day, priests make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh, regardless of how somebody else see you. You will be clean before Yahweh. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garment. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as Yahweh commanded Moses. Again, what is Yahweh doing? Coming down upon the mercy seat, and for what? To do away your sins, to blot out your sins once a year. And why? Because Yahweh said you must be holy. And why? Because he's holy. The only way you can live before Yah is that you be holy and that you be clean and that you serve him in righteousness. And so these sins he has to do away with. Now, how can a man then teach you how to come before Yahweh if he can't teach you about sin? When it is sin that Yahweh has said has separated you from him. And it is sin that must be taken away from you that you might come before Yah. Is not that what Solomon prayed? Isn't this what we're reading in the book of Leviticus? That we have to be perfect before Yah, our Elohim. And how is this mercy seat made? Look in the book of Exodus 37 so you can see the making of this thing. In the book of Exodus 37, everything that Yahweh do, we serve an Elohim that's so detailed, because everything, there's a time and purpose for everything. So there's even a time and purpose even for this. Exodus 37:6. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was the length thereof. 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold. Beaten out of 1 piece made he them. On the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And 1 cherub on the end on this side. And another cherub on the other end on that side. And out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims spread out their wings on high and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seat where the faces of the cherubims were the faces of the cherubim. So you had them like this. One on this side, one on that side, and Yahweh will come down on this mercy seat. But he was not to be seen by no one. And this is what Yah would do. Now, what other Elohim do that? Well, none. And what other Elohim have a seat called the mercy seat? None. Every other religion got somebody either dying just to receive any type of mercy or blessing. In other words, if you are a Christian, the only way you're going to receive any type of goodness or mercy is that you die. Then you can get everlasting life. Well, how do I know that? In other words, I got to die to know that I'm going to get everlasting life? That don't make sense to me. Well, it makes sense to a lot of other people. Well, if it did make sense to a lot of other people, then why don't they want to die? Why people spend their life trying to live? And then there are many people that kill themselves and commit suicide. And these same people ain't doing it because they want to go to heaven. In other words, you don't hear a lot of people saying, man, I'm going to kill myself. Why are you going to do that? Or leave a note behind saying, look, I killed myself because I wanted to go to heaven. I never seen that note. Maybe you have, but I haven't. Because everybody trying to live. But Yahweh's mercy is for the land of the living. Yahweh wants you to live. And Yahweh don't need you to die for you to live. But if you happen to die, Yahweh said you still can live. And watch what the Creator says. In the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. In the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, this is what it says. And this is Yahweh's mercy. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, withstanding for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now, only people that are sleeping in the dust of the earth are people who are deceased. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And this is what we're trying to do. Turn many to righteousness. For what is righteousness? The word of Yah. It is his laws, his commandments, his statutes, and his judgment. It is the obedience of his voice. This is what righteousness is. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And knowledge is being increased to you today. Showing you, demonstrating to you, in the word of Yah, how Yahweh has proposed, has desired to save you, the righteousness, through his name, through the sure mercies of David, and number four, through his mercy. And why? Because his mercy endured forever. And until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed.